40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for Major League Baseball's World Series. The Cleveland Indians will host the Chicago Cubs later Wednesday night in the decisive Game 7 of the Championship Series. The Cubs routed the Indians Tuesday night 9-3 in Cleveland to avoid elimination and even the World Series at three games each. Cubs shortstop Addison Russell knocked in six of Chicago's nine runs with a first inning two-run double and a third inning grand slam homer.
Honestly, it's kind of been, throughout the whole year. Being part of the Cubs, you're put in the limelight. And early on, you're forced to deliver whenever the game's kind of on the line. So having that practice throughout the whole season, and then finally, you know, here comes a big moment in the postseason in the World Series. I wouldn't say it's bread and butter, but you definitely learn to control those feelings. So you're able to see the ball and able to think about pitch counts and all that stuff. So
Addison Russell's grand slam home run was applauded by Cubs fans as well as his teammate Chris Bryant.
I feel like that was, you know, the hit of the night there. Anytime you get four runs on one swing, and to go up, well, I think it was 7-0. That was huge. He's had a lot of big home runs this postseason, and that might have been the biggest. So just watching him, he's unbelievable, man. He's 22 years old, Gold Glove, hitting homers in the World Series. He's just a pretty special player.
Meanwhile, Cubs manager Joe Maddon says it seems only fitting that a World Series that's featured such quality baseball will go the full seven games.
It's been a very well-contested series. Both sides have played really good baseball. They have been outstanding pitching. They've been outstanding pitching all year. All of a sudden, our offense is having a resurgence, which we need. Of course, we want to be the group that breaks the string, but it's just correct and apt that we would go seven games.
Joe Maddon's managerial counterpart for the Indians, Terry Francona, says his club will now try to come back in Game 7 and win Cleveland's first World Series championship since 1948.
I mean, tonight was a tough night. There, you know, you can, however, get philosophical or whatever, have sayings. What it comes down to is you learn from your mistakes and then move on quickly, and we'll do that. It'll be exciting to come to the ballpark.
It'll be exciting, I'm sure, for either Cleveland Indians or Chicago Cubs fans, should their respective clubs win later Wednesday night. Both teams have had very long title droughts. While Cleveland's last World Series title was in 1948, we have to go back 40 years earlier to 1908 for the last championship by the Cubs.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 1830 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Action continues later Wednesday evening in the UEFA Champions League, widely regarded as the world's best club football competition. In results Tuesday, Manchester City scored a big 3-1 victory over Lionel Messi in visiting Barcelona. Messi's 90th goal in Europe's top competition gave Barca a 21st-minute lead, but German midfielder İlkay Gündoğan scored the equalizer for Man City in the 39th minute. The Belgian Kevin De Bruyne put Man City in front with a second-half free kick, and then Gündoğan added another goal in the 74th minute for the final scoreline. Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola used to be in charge of Barcelona, and he says it's a great feeling to get the better of his former club.
I think we show many, many good things. We show many good things. I'm so happy for the players. For many games, they didn't deserve to 6 win less for how they play. And I said to them, the football at the end is fair, and sometimes they're going to come back with today we miss, and today we say back again with in some games. Okay, we play good, and we didn't win. Maybe today is a good step to say once in our lives we play against the best team, and we compete against them.
With 7 points in the group standings, Pep Guardiola and Manchester City now trail first place Barcelona by 2 points. In Sofia, Bulgaria, Arsenal booked its place in the knockout stage of the Champions League with a 3-2 road victory over Ludogorets. German footballer Mesut Ozil scored the game-winning goal 2 minutes from the end. It secured a spot in the last 16 of the Champions League for the Gunners of Arsenal for a 17th consecutive season. Host Atletico Madrid also reached the knockout stage with a 2-1 victory over the Russian side Rostov. French striker Antoine Griezmann had both goals for Atletico. In the Netherlands, Polish striker Robert Lewandowski also scored 2 goals for Bayern Munich, which beat PSV Eindhoven 2-1 to advance to the knockout stage. In more UEFA Champions League results, Besiktas and visiting Napoli of Italy drew 1-1 in Istanbul, Turkey. Benfica beat visiting Dynamo Kiev 1-0 in Lisbon, Portugal, to all but end the Ukrainian champions' hopes of advancing. Argentine winger Eduardo Salvio had the goal for Benfica just before halftime. In Germany, hosts Mönchengladbach and Scottish club Celtic battled to a 1-1 draw. Moussa Dembele's penalty kick in the 76th minute equalized for Celtic. And in one more UEFA Champions League result, Paris Saint-Germain scored a 2-1 road victory over Swiss side Basel. A stunning late volley by Thomas Meunier in the 90th minute secured the win for the French club. Pro boxing news now on the VOA. IBF heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua will make the second defense of his title against American Eric Molina on December 10th in Manchester, England. Joshua was hoping to face former world champion Vladimir Klitschko, but a deal couldn't be worked out, and it now looks like Joshua Klitschko won't take place until March or April 2017. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, says Anthony Joshua must not look past Eric Molina. Namdi says the 34-year-old Molina, nicknamed Drummer Boy, can punch, and he'll be a good test for Joshua. Eric Molina has a record of 25 wins and 3 losses with 19 knockouts. Anthony Joshua is unbeaten in 17 professional fights, and he's won them all by knockout. The 27-year-old Joshua won the gold medal for Britain in the super heavyweight division at the 2012 Olympics in London. He says, and I quote, I'm pleased that everything is now set for December 10th, and I can concentrate on getting the business done in the ring. And Joshua adds, there's been plenty of talk about who I may face, but all I'm doing is concentrating on finishing Molina in style and putting on a great show. Turning to African athletics, Kenya once again showed off its proud running pedigree at the recent Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. The Kenyans swept the top three places overall in the men's race. Mark Correa was first in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 48 seconds. Martin Koskai was second, and Cyprian Kotut placed third. Kotut suffered a hamstring injury late in the race, and he talked about it after he crossed the finish line with the energetic Andy Edwards. Here's Andy.
I'm at the Minova Frankfurt Marathon 2016, actually sitting with the man who was third, Cyprian Kotut of Kenya. We're sitting relaxing in the hotel lobby, and Cyprian especially is relaxing because he finished third despite having a tweak, some pain in his hamstring at around 35 kilometres, and he continued. And that's what I'd like to talk about, because Cyprian, there you were running 207 pace. You're one of the three men up there challenging for the victory. What went through your mind? Because you were able to keep running. Now, some people might think, oh, better to drop out because I don't know what damage I'm doing if my hamstring feels wrong. So what was going through your head?
First of all, I'm happy because I was able to finish. And the hamstring I feel at 35 kilometers, but it was on-off. That is why I could say let me try a little bit. If it will continue the pain, I will stop. But then it was on off. But at 38, that is where the hamstring become that constant. I feel pain in my left leg. But because I did train well, I was good, and I feel like I am not tired. Everywhere in my body was okay except the hamstring. I decided, let me just roll on.
I could see at the finish in the Festhalle in Frankfurt, Martin Koskai, who was second, so beat you by one place. You were lying on the ground. It looked as if you had very bad cramp because you just couldn't stand up. And I think everybody, even ordinary runners like me, we know what that's like. And Martin was trying to massage the leg. Were you worried then that it was a really serious injury?
You know, after I felt it at 38, when it became serious, I insist on still running. That is why after finishing, you know, that all pain that accumulated from 38 kilometers to 42, that is when I could not even stand. But after that, I could not even walk until Martin came and massaged me, and I felt a little bit better because, you know, after massage, you know, it was tight. And then the massage a little bit with the stretches reduces the tightness in the leg.
I presume you're going back to Kenya now after Frankfurt. Do you have good facilities for getting treatment to this? I mean, how do you react if you've had injuries before? Do you go and get treatment or do you just rest?
Yeah, I've been having this, it is not my first time having a hamstring. Like 2 years ago, I had a problem with hamstring. But in the group where I'm training with, there is proper facilities for the injury. Now, what is in my mind, when I reach Kenya, I go direct to my therapist, physiotherapist, and then my coach also knows how to fix this. I go and fix. The first thing is to try and work on this because, you know, I want to run fast. I want to prepare. I want to get something good. Maybe, who knows, I might decide to go back to Paris or Tokyo, at least to run good. So what is in my mind now is to go and fix this hamstring.
Do you have little niggles? You know what we call niggles, little pains all the time? Or are you normally injury-free?
I'm normally injury-free. Again, even when I was coming here, I was injury-free. I did not feel anything. I was okay. I don't know what happened, but it always happened in athletics. But I was coming here without an injury. I cannot go to a race where I want to run fast with an injury. At least I'll have to make sure that I'm good health, I'm injury free, and then that is the sure way that I would be sure that I'm going to run good. So what I think now is to go and fix it once and for all and focus on something else.
Well, Cyprian, you ran very well considering that you were struggling with that hamstring injury from 35 kilometres. Third place in the Minova Frankfurt Marathon this year and running, as you said, just after the race to me. You've run another 207 time. All the best, Cyprian Kotu, for the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming back to Frankfurt. I know Frankfurt is a good race. Frankfurt deserves more than 207.28. I need to run 204. That is the only present I would give to Frankfurt Marathon.
I'm sure they'll welcome you back, Cyprian. Thank you again.
Thank you. Kenya ya leo, Kenya ya leo, usipokazana,
takufa masikini. Kenya ya leo, haipendi uvivu, usipokazana, takufa masikini. Kenya ya leo, Kenya ya leo, usipokazana, takufa masikini. Hello sports fans, this is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty World Series greetings, Andrew.
Sporty World Series greetings, Sonny.
What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, as you talked about earlier on the show, by the end of the night tonight, one of the longest World Series droughts in Major League Baseball, in fact, one of the two longest World Series droughts, will end. Either the Cleveland Indians or Chicago Cubs will be World Series champions, of course, after the Chicago Cubs won in Game 6, forcing the decisive Game 7 tonight. So everything social media here in the States right now is World Series, and it's touching on a lot of different aspects of the World Series. So we'll start with just getting in the door. We talked about some of the ticketing and some of the extreme prices people will pay back when we were talking about the start of the World Series. Well, now we're at the last game of the World Series where one of these teams, you're guaranteed to see a World Series victory. It just depends on who is going to win. And so with the Cubs having a chance of winning the first World Series in 108 years, as soon as they won last night, ticket prices shot up on the resale market. They were starting at $2,000 as of last night just to get in the building. And a lot of those were just standing room only. And keep in mind, this isn't at Wrigley Field where the Cubs play. This is at Progressive Field where the Cleveland Indians play. So not only would you pay $2,000 just to get in the door and you don't get a seat, but you also have to drive from Chicago to Cleveland, which I don't know, it's about probably a 3-hour drive, 4-hour drive,
right,
something like that. So all those things, but just to get in the door. Now, I looked just before I came on air with you, and there were some seats available in the upper deck, which you would actually get a seat for $1,100. The problem is it's just one ticket. So if you have any friends, unfortunately, you can't bring them with you. It's just you're the only person that's going to be there. But Darren Revelle, who's a sports journalist here in the U.S., he said as of earlier today, someone bought two seats right by the Cubs dugout for Game 7 on StubHub, which is one of the ticket resale websites. Now, this is right next to the dugout where the Cubs sits. You're right next to where the players are. Do you know how much they paid for those tickets?
No idea.
$19,900 each.
So
about $40,000 for two tickets to the game. And that doesn't include fees, by the way. So you have to pay the fees on top of that. Now, people were reacting to this saying, whoever bought that, could you pay off my student loans while you're at it? Yeah, clearly you've got enough money to pay for this. So a lot of talk about the high cost, probably one of the most expensive sporting events in the U.S., probably in history. It's right up there with the Super Bowl, I would say. I think this is going to be one of the most costly, and at least for fans.
Andrew, you've told our VOA listeners how you're a self-described New York Mets fan, and I think I probably follow the Nationals the team based here in Washington.
And by Jeopardy, who are two teams that are not in the World Series?
But I do think I'll feel a little sorrow for whichever team loses tonight, simply because of that long title drought you mentioned.
You know, that's the sentiment on social media. It was the sentiment here in the newsroom, just talking with some of our colleagues, that you almost wish that they could both win because it's, you know, the fans have been so devoted. There has been so much attention on these World Series droughts that both teams have had. And so there is going to be a big population of the sporting world here in the U.S. who's going to be very disappointed tonight into tomorrow morning. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully the best team will win, and the team that doesn't, maybe they'll be able to come back next year and bust their drought, however long it carries on for another year.
We'll get them next year. I think
yes,
that's the expression.
That's what they'll say for sure. So,
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Silvio Gazzaniga, an Italian sculptor who designed the World Cup trophy. He died on Monday at his home in Milan at the age of 95. And you'll see that World Cup trophy in front of his profile. Andrew, what else is trending at the World Series?
Well, you may not have all that money to get a ticket to the game, but if you're someone like Karen Michelle and you have a lot of moxie or courage, what have you, you may still be able to get in. And that's because she, in Cleveland last night for Game 6, ran into Bill Murray.
Uh-oh.
Of course, we talked about actor and comedian Bill Murray being a Cubs super fan. And she herself is a Cubs fan. She couldn't get a ticket to the game, so she followed Bill Murray, and she's kind of walking behind him. And he turns around, and she says she was expecting him to say, you know, why are you following me? Get out of here. Turns around and says, here's a ticket. And he hands her a ticket to the game. And
oh,
it's
my.
Not just any ticket. It is the seat right next to Bill Murray. So she watches the game from Progressive Field, and she's sitting right next to Bill Murray. Now, Bill Murray is a very, you know, wealthy guy. These were not bad seats. They were just about right behind home plate. They had a great view. And she said they just talked about, you know, their fandom for the Cubs, who they used to go to the games with when they were younger. So it was a really great moment. So the, you know, the legend of Bill Murray as a Cubs fan, which has stretched for many, many years, and including through this series when he sang the national, excuse me, not the national anthem, but Take Me Out to the Ball Game, continues even in Cleveland because he's giving out tickets to people. He's, you know.
What a great story.
It is. And social media just loves it. You know, social media already loves Bill Murray. And then this on top of it, they're eating it up. It's fantastic.
And I guess Murray kind of got his start in Chicago before his comedy career with Second City and that group.
Yeah, he's a Chicago guy. He's, you know, been a Cubs fan. You see him out, you know, on set for movies and things, and he's you know, when he's taking breaks and things, he's wearing a Cubs hat or he's wearing a Cubs, you know, kind of fleece. So he's made his Cubs fandom very much known throughout his career. And he is just, you know, loving this, and so are the fans.
Any other World Series trends, Andrew?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, even if you can't get into the park to see it, you're going to be watching it, especially if you're in Chicago. And the Cubs, realizing this, have tweeted out an excuse note for everyone. And I just want to read it very quickly. It says, to whom it may concern, please excuse blank from class, work, other responsibility on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. The Chicago Cubs are playing in Game 7 of the World Series, and if you're not familiar with sports narratives, well, it's kind of a big deal. We need all the support we can muster up, and blank has been an integral part, of course, with the blanks you insert the name of the person, blank has been an integral part of our fan base for blank days, weeks, months, years, you fill in the blank there, and how long you've been a fan, and we cannot hashtag fly the W without them. So I'm sure a lot of fans will be taking these notes to school, work, what have you today, and saying, you know what, I'd love to be there, but I've been a Cubs fan for so long, I'm not going to miss this moment, and I'm too excited to get any work done. And then finally, very quickly, one person tweeting out saying, my whole life the joke has been that the Cubs title ushers in the apocalypse. They could be champs tonight, and the 2016 election is in 6 days. So we'll see. You know, first the Cubs got to win, but then we'll see what happens after that.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the November 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Power Africa, a U.S. government-led initiative launched by President Barack Obama in 2013, has a new partnership arrangement with the Nile Basin, or NBI, and the Nile Equatorial Lakes Subsidiary Action Program, or NELSAP. Focused on increasing regional power interconnections and generation among the Nile Equatorial Lakes countries. The Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and NBI, signed by the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat, centers on collaboration, funding, and technical assistance for regional power generation among the participating Nile Basin countries. We are thrilled now to be working more closely with the United States government and USAID to increase access to renewable energy for people across the Nile Basin region and all of East Africa, said Innocent Ntabana, Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat. This new partnership between the United States, NBI, and NELSAP builds on Power Africa's broad coalition of public and private sector partners and will help accelerate progress towards our shared goal of doubling access to electricity in sub-Saharan Africa by 2030. Taylor Ruggles, the U.S. Department of State's Regional Energy Counselor for Africa, said regional integration is more important than ever, and this MOU signals a strong message to the people and governments of the region that we take the issue of energy access and connectivity seriously and are committed to making the East African power pool a reality. Power Africa's goals are to increase electricity access in sub-Saharan Africa by adding more than 30,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation capacity and 60 million new home and business connections. The Nile Basin Initiative is a regional intergovernmental partnership launched by the Nile Basin countries in 1999 to manage and develop the shared Nile Basin water resources in a cooperative manner, share substantial socioeconomic benefits, and promote regional peace and security. There are 10 NBI member states: Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said, "NELSAP plays an important role in promoting sound regional infrastructure development and regional integration, and I am certain that this partnership will advance our common commitment to electrifying the Nile Basin region."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said, "NELSAP plays."
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the electoral process and presidential elections in the United States. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
On November 8th, American citizens will exercise their right to vote and choose their next president. VOA is providing comprehensive coverage of this unique democratic process. Who is going to earn the trust of the American people to lead the nation for the next 4 years? Find out right here on VOA.